Good morning, brothers and sisters from Pantai Baptist Church. I want to thank you for joining us this morning in a time of worship and now listening to the Word of God. Before that, I would like to give a praise item, thanking all of you for praying for me. Last weekend, I had a busy weekend. On Saturday, I spoke at two week services, and then on Sunday, I spoke at the Emmanuel Baptist Church in the English and the Cantonese service, followed by a funeral in the afternoon. Of the five times that I spoke, I only talked about three times. Thanks for your prayer. I knew that the prayer warriors prayed for me, the carriers group, the Saturday morning, and also the Wednesday prayer meeting. And it's because of your prayer that I was able to preach through all that. And I hope that this morning I still have a little bit of cough. And pray for me, you know, that I will be able to have a smooth recording. Let's commit this time to the Lord. Father God, we want to thank you for this morning that we're able to worship you. And in songs, we pray, Lord, that even as we listen to your word, you will teach us, Lord, how to be a good stewards of you, how to use the gifts that you have given to us. Even as we look at these three things, the hope, the retaliation, and love for our enemies, we can put it and practice it into our lives. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This morning is again a three-point sermon given to me. The three topics is the oaths, or swearing, a retaliation, and the love of the enemies. The first section is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to 37. I'll read it for you. Here it says, again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Now, because of this above passage, a group of Christians who call themselves the Quakers have traditionally refused to take an oath even in the court of law. I'm not sure whether our brother Sean or sister Sally or any of our TBC lawyers have encountered that, refusing to take an oath in a court of law. Now, some months ago, I saw on WhatsApp the installation of the new Indonesian IGP, a Christian, placed his hand on the Bible and swore to uphold the law and order in front of the Indonesian President Jokowi, a Muslim. When I saw that, you know, my first thought was, what an open-minded, you know, country. When will Malaysia ever be like that? And that's my Merdeka hope for Malaysia. Now, the problem in those days was, and even today, of course, that men's word cannot be trusted anymore. And so they have to take an oath or swear by heaven, earth, Jerusalem, or one's head. And as Christians, our Lord says we must live our life so truthful and so true that when you say yes, it is yes. And when it's no, it's no. No need to swear by anything under the sun. Now, I'm sure you have heard of our Muslim friends swearing in a mosque that they never did what they have been accused of. Or our Chinese friends cutting the cockroach's head in a temple to prove that their statement is nothing but the truth. In the temple, to prove, you know, that what they say is true. Now, in the past, the Chinese merchants do business with just their word, their mouth, their promise. There's no need to write down anything. Their word is as good as gold. There's a Chinese saying, "Nga qi dong gam sai." And once something is said, even the four horses cannot catch back those words. Yet in gaichun, say ma la. So their word is their promise. There was this old merchant, you know, having built a very successful business and retiring from business. You know, so he has some bit of advice for the son. He said, "Son, you know, I've made a success of this business, but there are two principles you must keep. Reliability and wisdom. First, reliability. If you promise goods by the 10th of the month, you must deliver by the 10th of the month. Even if it costs you overtime, double time, golden time, you deliver what you promised. The son thought about that for a while and then asked, but what about wisdom? His father said, wisdom is never making such a stupid promise. You know? So here we see that the words of the old are the things that, you know, keep the business going. So my dear brothers and sisters, as Christians, we are allowed to take an oath or make a vow. Sunday preaching is not a Bible study class, so I will not give you the references. You know, you can all look up the references to Google. In the Old Testament, you know, you can see how vows are being made. Abraham made them, Isaac made them, Jacob, Joseph, Joshua, in the book of Judges, Ruth, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Chronicles, and even God himself made a vow. Look it up yourself, okay? And in the New Testament, in fact, it was under oath that Jesus declared himself to be Christ, the Son of God, Matthew chapter 26. And Paul too made a vow in the book of Hebrews and James. Look it up for yourself if you are interested. The bottom line is, you know, to swearing and oath is, we must live our life so upright and true that your yes is yes and your no is no. Anything that beyond that, a lot say comes from the evil one. The next one is retaliation. Matthew 38, chapter 5, again, verse 38 to verse 42. You have heard it say, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Now someone has commented, he says that if the whole world put this into practice, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, you know, half the world will be blind and the other half toothless. Now this comes from Exodus chapter 21, verse 24 and 25. He reads, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, strike for strike. And the other parts of our scripture also says, fracture for fracture and life for life. Now this so-called the law of retaliation was in fact given to the judges, the civil courts, to discourage people from taking personal revenge whenever they are wrong. It was meant to limit the punishment to fit the crime. In fact, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, it says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And also in Proverbs, there are at least 2 to 3 verses to tell us not to repay evil for evil, but wait for God. Again, look it up for yourself. Now, if left on our own, it will not be just an eye for an eye, or a tooth for a tooth, but rather an eye for both of yours, or a tooth for the whole set of your teeth, right? You know, so that you know you can eat the yong tau fu and tau fu fa the rest of your life. In anger, if left on our own, when we are wrong, when we are hurt, you know, we will do more than how we have been hurt. I remember one time when I was about 10 years old. My father died when I was 6 years old. My mother remarried, and my 2 younger sisters and me were looked after by my grandfather. Now, one afternoon while I was chopping wood, and suddenly I heard my younger sister cry because my step-grandma had slapped her. I told myself at the moment, 10 years old, when I grew up, I would chop her into 18 pieces and feed her to the dogs. You know, I was so angry, but I was 10 years old, I couldn't do anything. You see, she only stabbed my sister, but I wanted to really to chop her. That's more than, you know, what she had done to my sister. And so, you see, this law is given to the courts, to the judges, so that, you know, they were punished according to what has been done to them. Now, the Pharisees appealed to this law to justify personal retaliation and revenge. But what our Lord is teaching here is not only do not retaliate, but give more than what is required. Do more than what is required. If someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other cheek. If someone sues you for your shirt, give him your coat. If a soldier demands you to carry his gear for a mile, carry it for two. If someone asks you to borrow, lend to them, not grudgingly, but willingly, generously, liberally, not only show kindness, but love kindness. Now, some biblical illustration of what our Lord is teaching here is Abraham. Remember? His relative Lot, you know, did him wrong. But when he was caught, you know, Abraham, you know, went to rescue him. What about Joseph? Generously, you know, forgiving his brothers who sold him. David, twice sparing the life of, you know, his persecutor, King Saul. And then Elisha, setting bread and water before the invading Syrians. Stephen, praying for the people who were stoning him to death. And above all, you know, our Lord, when he was hung on the cross, first thing he said was, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." You see, my friends, becoming a Christian is easy. Living the Christian life is the hard part. So rightly, our theme this year is live that life. The life that our Lord taught us. The life that he has lived by example when he was on earth. That is, you know, not to take an eye for an eye, but really, you know, to love your neighbors. And then thirdly, of course, love your enemies. Verse 43 to verse 48. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Love your enemies. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, it says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now from here we see that love your neighbor as yourself was already taught in the Old Testament. But the second part is hate your enemies is nowhere found in any of our Old Testament. Again, you can Google. It's never found. This part is never found. But this is what the narrow-minded Pharisees have been teaching the Jews. You know, love your neighbor but hate your enemies. To the narrow-minded Pharisees, anyone not a Jew is an enemy. And here our Lord is telling them, not only you do not hate your enemies, but you have to love them. Now this must have blown their mind. Love your enemies. We must be joking. You know, but William Hendrickson has this to say. He says, after a thorough research of all the relevant resources resulted in this, the conclusion remains that the first one who has taught mankind to see the neighbor in every human being and therefore to encounter every human being in love was Jesus. See the parable of the Good Samaritan or the Compassionate Samaritan? Hendrickson went on to say, without in any way denying that statement, one might add, Jesus taught the people that one should not even ask, who is my neighbor, but should prove himself to be the man, himself neighbor to the man in need, whoever that might be. Remember in one of my devotions, I entitled, be that friend, and not wishing that we have friends like that, you know, praying for neighbors to be like this good Samaritan. Be that neighbor. Be that friend. Many times, you know, we hope to have friends that will bless us. We hope to have neighbors that will help us when we're in trouble. But the important thing is that here it is be that friend. You know, be that neighbor. And praise the Lord, in a recent COVID aid, many of us have been that neighbor, reaching out to those in need. Some even risking their health and their lives to reach out, you know, to those badly beaten and robbed on the pandemic road. Praise the Lord for all you have proved to be that friend and that neighbor. In fact, in the Old Testament, he has been teaching that, you know, in Exodus chapter 23, verse 4 and 5, if you happen to see your enemy, stray ox or donkey, you must bring it back to him. Yes, enemy. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying helpless under a peg, you must not leave him there. You must help him to leave it. You see? So our Lord went further than just help your enemies, but now to even love him. And then he went further and pray for those who persecute you. Pray for the salvation of those of your persecutors. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 10. And some later manuscript says, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you. In Paul in Romans 12, teach not only not to repay evil for evil, not to take revenge, leave that to the Lord. But instead, in quoted Proverbs, he says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And verse 46 to verse 48, he says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet those of your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So, my dear brothers and sisters, you know, this morning, even as we look at these three oaks, you know, swearing, you know, retaliation, and love for your enemies, let us put it in practice. This into our lives. Yes, you can swear, but live your life, you know, so true and so good that whenever you say yes, people will believe it's yes. When it's no, you know, it's no. You don't have to swear by anything. And about retaliation, you know, live your life, you know, be generous, turn the other cheek, go the second mile, and lend to those, you know, who are truly in need. And about your enemies, you know, I love them, and pray for those who persecute you. Be that friend, be that neighbor, and God will continue to bless you. Father, indeed, we thank you this morning for reminding us how to live our life as a Christian. We know, Lord, it's not easy, but you have lived that life for us. You have been the example for us. Help us to be more like you every day, Lord, even as we live our lives here on earth. Continue to bless One Time Baptist Church and the Christians all over the country, Lord, all over the world, that we can truly be like you, Lord. For that's what you want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray.